Welcome to Audible Interlude, a G.I. Joe podcast. I am your host, Dave West, codename Phantom Troublemaker.
And I am your co-host, Noel Wood, codename Crapshoot.
And I'm your Cobra intern that named the Cobra Latrine Skid Mark and Backstop, codename Legion Cub.
Follow us wherever you listen to podcasts. Click that follow button and be sure to subscribe. And while you're there, whatever service you're listening on, leave us a 5-star review. Those reviews are very important at massaging the algorithm. And also be sure to share the show, whether you share our YouTube live streams or audio episodes of the show. Pass it around. Let the people know about Audible Interlude. That is the only way we can grow, is with your help. Follow us on Audible Interlude Podcast on Instagram. And this may be a social clip. It may not. But just in case, here is the Audible Interlude Saves Christmas t-shirt. Available now. If you go to the pinned stories on our Instagram, you can order this shirt from TeePublic. It will be available through December the 25th, and then at midnight on Christmas, cutting it off. No more available. So get yourself an Audible Interlude Christmas shirt.
It's a way to create that artificial scarcity.
That's right. Well, really everything is artificial scarcity, isn't it? I mean, that's what production numbers are. Mm-hmm. You can check us out on the Needless Things YouTube channel. We have a live stream on December the 22nd. It is our holiday special where we will be airing our grievances.
We got a lot of problems with you, Joes.
You can also check out the Audible Army Facebook group. Shoot us a message at Audible Interlude Podcast on Instagram with your email address. We'll add you to the Facebook group where you can get heads up about pre-orders, sales, Audible Interlude business. So check out the Audible Army Facebook group. And our review of G.I. Joe number 16 is available now wherever you get your podcasts. So with that, we got a couple of things to talk about before we get down to the meat of the show. Did you guys sign up for Super 7's shipping program?
No, because by the time that I saw that link, the page was not found. And I looked, like, I Googled it again. And
oh, it's still there today. Well, I just went and looked at it and then immediately got one of those emails saying, looks like you left something behind.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it was not showing available, but I'm wondering if it was because of I was on a device that was not in the United States at the time.
Oh, yeah, probably. I would imagine they're not offering $28 shipping to, like, you know, Denmark or anything. That's very likely the problem. So yeah, $27.99 free shipping for a year. That's crazy. Because
yeah, when I go to it now, it says page not found. That's weird. So, and I know I'm not on a VPN right now.
Huh. That's very strange.
Yeah.
What browser are you using?
I'm using Chrome.
Oh, I was gonna say illegal dot dark web.
Well, now I feel like we have to do it now. Wait a minute. How are you doing it? Are you going to the website?
Well, I just Googled right now Super 7 1-year free shipping.
Well, that could be like a weird dead link or something. If you go to the website and click at the top, the banner, mm-hmm. then it'll take you to it. Oh, yep. Noel, always making technology more difficult than it has to be.
Yeah, the Google link does not take you there. But I mean, after I did that, I actually bought the Back to the Future figures, which shipped today. But I paid for shipping for them because,
so we can talk about those for a second. I love them. And I even have a DeLorean that's scaled to go with them because Diamond, it might be a little big, but they work with it because I used to have reaction figures standing next to it. But at $25 a piece, I just decided, I was like, you know, I don't need O-ring Back to the Future figures. Mm. I think they're great. I'm glad they're doing them. But for me, that 25 versus 20 is going to be impacting a lot of my decisions in the Reaction Plus.
Yeah, same. I'm going to Super 7's website and clicking on that free shipping link from their website, and it's still saying. So maybe they just doesn't they don't like me.
I think that's it because that's crazy. I'm on it right now. I just yeah, dropped it into the cart.
Poor old Noel.
Do my shop pay. And
so anyway, heck of a deal, because I mean, that's, you basically just have to make like three purchases and it's paid for. So I signed up for it the day it went up,
less than that,
and I'm excited. Yeah, I mean, it is less than three, but it's more than two. So it takes three purchases because, I mean, okay, generally their shipping's around $10.
Yeah.
I did not imagine that the Super 7 shipping program would get derailed so badly in our follow-up conversation. So anyway, check that out, unless you're Noel and you can't. In other news, in pricing news, so you guys know the Marvel Legends X-Men 97 Sentinel. That went up for, it was a made to order item that went up for sale, I think last year.
Yeah.
And I ordered two of them, one for myself, one for Riley. And at the time they were $174.99, which is a big chunk of change, but it's a big chunk of robot. And it's what I wanted my Marvel Legends Sentinel to look like. While I like the HasLab Sentinel, it's not really what I want my Sentinel to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're in stock on Hasbro Pulse now because they are shipping. Mine should be here tomorrow. It'll be reviewed on the Needless Things YouTube channel very soon, as will all of the mask vehicles that arrive today. Now, it'll be after Christmas because they took just long enough to get here that I'm not going to have time to review them. Maybe I can squeeze one in. But anyway, that Sentinel on Hasbro Pulse now, but it has gone from $174.99 to $219.99.
Wow.
Mm.
And that's, again, to go back to those, you know, that 11 months of price increases that we've had, the dramatic increases we've had versus the merely alarming increases of the past 5 years. just another sign of what's going on there. But I'll let you know in my review in the next couple of weeks here, if it's worth the $219.99, and potentially if it's a figure of the year candidate. We'll find out, because I do plan to get that review up before the end of the year, because on December 31st on the Needless Things YouTube channel, I will be publishing my top 10 figures of 2025 post, like I did last year and the year before. And I want to get that Sentinel in there. And then finally, so Instruments of Destruction is back tonight, and something that I really liked doing when it was possible was dropping in audio from the old school TV commercials, like when we were going to talk about something. And I actually had the Maggot and Persuader, because the Maggot and Persuader were in a commercial together. I guess, spoiler, we're talking about the Persuader tonight. And I had that because we've already discussed the Maggot. But unfortunately, it was in the files that were on the drive that died, so I don't have that anymore. And none of the YouTube downloaders work anymore, except for the one where you pay to have YouTube service.
I still have one that works that just captures audio. It doesn't capture video.
When's the last time you used it?
A couple weeks ago. So
it may not. But if you can capture that audio, get it and send it to me.
Okay.
And I'll add it into the show. So going forward, we may or may not have that audio. I just thought it was a fun thing to do. We may or may not have that going forward, but what we will have going forward is ads. Thanks to our new server, advertising revenue is much more accessible than it was previously, which is a good thing for us. I know the listeners, you know, aren't going to love it, but we got to keep the lights on around here. We got to keep the show on around here, but we are looking for feedback on those ads. We got some very helpful feedback from our pal Rexship, who let me know that the comic review episode that just went up, the ads were not placed well, and there were too many of them, which I thought that was something that kind of calibrated itself, but there's a manual way I can go in and set where the ads go. So if you're listening to an episode and the ads are unreasonable, they're going to be obnoxious no matter what, but we need them in there. But if you're listening and it's egregious, like it's interrupting our sentences, or it seems like there's like 10 ads for every hour of show, we don't want that. So do shoot us a message, Audible Interlude Podcast on Instagram, or if you're in the Audible Army Facebook group, we'll see a message a lot faster there. So just let us know. This is going to be an evolving process. We're going to find the happy medium of generating revenue versus not being too intrusive into the episodes. And for an episode like this one, it's a lot easier to place ads since we actually have separate segments and stuff. So it'll go between the segments as opposed to a comic review where they have to kind of get inserted during pauses and things, or when we change, you know, conversation a bit and there aren't defined segments. So just be sure and give us feedback on that. We're looking for it. You guys have any kind of follow-up or news or anything before we get down to it?
Nope.
No, I have been seeing a lot of people getting their Operation Recall figures. I have not gotten mine yet, but I'm very excited about those.
Did you order the full set?
I did not order the full set.
So I believe he is shipping. Everybody who ordered the full set is up first, mm-hmm. which is how it should be.
Yeah, yeah.
And then everybody else will just be as time goes along. So if anyone, which I didn't order a full set, anybody who did not order the full first wave, just expect to get them probably by February-ish.
Yeah. Well, and I will say, too, if you did order them and you were not aware, there is Carson created a feedback page, like a feedback group on Facebook. So like an Operation Recall feedback group. So if you ordered them, you know, and you want to, you know, provide any feedback on it, he's great about that. He did the same thing for the tome. So like look for that if you want to make a comment, you know, good or bad.
Yeah, he's very responsive to feedback.
Alrighty, welcome to Rank and File Card. As many of you know, if you've been listening to us for a while, we have been going through all of the G.I. Joe file cards starting in 1982, and we're going to go all the way until we don't have any more file cards to review. We have made it to 1985, and for this week, we're going to talk about a character that I've always kind of had a fondness for. I even do a little costume of this particular baddie. So we're going to talk about the Dreadnought Buzzer.
Well, and also featured huge in our comic review this week.
That's true. Yes, he is. He has been a major player in the Dreadnought War. We've gotten a different version of Buzzer, who's got a little bit of Ash Williams in him. But you know, that's fine. But we're going to go back to the 85 Buzzer, of course, as he first appeared in the original line of Dreadnoughts. He'd be the first of the three Dreadnoughts released in 85 that we'll be talking about. So, Buzzer. Well, of course, his file name starts with Dreadnought. That is his job. He's a Dreadnought. Codename, Buzzer. File name is Dick Blinken. Richard Blinken Smythe, in parentheses. And his place of birth is Cambridge, England. So we don't get a lot of other details. We just get his name and his place of birth. I mean, obviously, the Dreadnoughts are not a very regimented military outfit. So I don't think that they have ranks or primary or secondary MOSs that we're going to list here. but we do get a very fun little file card instead. Buzzer was an extreme left-wing Cambridge sociology don who went to Australia to research the biker gang phenomenon, only to be transformed into the very object of his research. Years of intellectual displeasure caused repressed psychotic anger, manifested in an intense desire to chainsaw apart the expensive gewgaws of technological society.
I feel like we just read a poem.
Fitting for someone from Cambridge.
So I didn't go to Cambridge or any other respected university. Somebody clue me in. You know, obviously I know what sociology is, but what is a sociology don?
You know, I've not heard Don used in that context, really.
I mean, I hear Don means... and I think like gangsters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I spent my time looking up the whole Giga, or also pronounced Giga, even though.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I had to look up the phonetic spelling because I just could not believe when I was doing the listen to. That I totally ignored the sociology, Don. But a giga is an expensive but useless trinket.
Mm.
Much like me.
And a Don is a key figure. So he was a key figure in sociology.
Apparently. Apparently in academia, specifically a Don is a British term for a university teacher or fellow, especially at Oxford or Cambridge, stemming from the Latin Dominus, Lord Master, and used informally for senior staff or college heads. Thank you, Ooh. Google Gemini.
wow.
You just got learned.
Yeah. I loved this, reading this for the first time as a kid. I didn't quite understand everything, but what I did get was that, like, this was some, like, hoity-toity English guy who fell into this biker gang kind of by accident. you know, so whereas our other dreadnoughts were obviously not as learned, you know, Buzzer's actually an intelligent fella, even though he was never portrayed that way in any of our cartoon media we watched as a kid.
Well, I would say even in the Dreadnought War, he's a maker of poor choices.
Yes. Now, we did see him in that in the Cold Slither comic, because, you know, we do see him back at back in the teaching profession there.
Yeah.
Now we have the last section here, which says specialty and MO. Of course, it has an asterisk, modus operandi. A scavenger of the swamps, Buzzer can cut through steel, wrought iron, and any metal except armor plate with his diamond-tooth chainsaw. So he's got a pretty awesome chainsaw, is all that tells us, essentially. but I think that's...
What exactly is armor plate made out of, if not steel?
Or I think iron? with armor plate, it's got different layers of metal, so it makes it a lot. Yeah, okay. It's not just like a solid piece of like wrought iron or steel. It's the way that it's made. It holds up to, you know, just to blasts and other impacts. But I think this is where I first learned the term MO.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Ceramic armor plates, typically composed of boron carbide, silicon carbide, or other similar materials, are commonplace in military applications. Abrasion resistant steel plates. So yeah, it's a mix of steel and other materials, and the other materials are probably what caused the problem, because not that I'm any kind of like builder or carpenter, but if you're cutting through something that has different layers and different consistencies, it causes problems.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. as I've learned in my,
you would absolutely know that.
Yeah. I've done quite a bit of work around the house and this house and others over the years. yeah. Tearing through stuff that's got different layers is not the easiest thing to do. All right, so this is a pretty standard Larry Hama card here. It was very cool to see him do something different, because, you know, up until this point we've had Joes and we've had Cobras, but we have a new faction here, so he's going to give these guys a little bit of different personality than we've done before. But I mean, it's pretty standard, the way.
Well, I think standard as far as when he's latched into somebody and given them a little bit of a little bit more of a history than some of the other ones we've seen. Like to me, the ones where he says this guy likes bazookas, that's not standard.
Right.
That's for him. He had less interest in whatever this was. This one, I agree with you. This one does feel more like a Larry Hama standard, where a little creativity went to it, a little more backstory went into it.
Yep. Yep. And it doesn't really talk about like how he got involved with, you know, with Cobra or anything like that, or the Dreadnoks just in general. It just talks about how, you know, he fell into this biker gang, and that he's got all this repressed anger and this awesome chainsaw that can go through anything.
And much like Zartan, according to Yo Joe, there are up to 4 different iterations of his file card.
I was just looking at that.
So it says the first one, where it said went to Australia to research the biker gang phenomenon, only to be transformed into the very object of his research, was quickly stickered over with a passage that reiterated Buzzer went to Australia to research the biker gang phenomenon, only to be transformed into the very object of his research. And then that was changed to say, years of intellectual displeasure and extreme indignation at society's two-faced morality. I really like that.
Well, that's the one that I was reading. I think it was the top one listed. So it is slightly different. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like for those first two, it's really like leaving certain words out, and then if you get to the two-faced morality, then the 1986 file card said he went to Australia for a short respite only to find himself 1 year later transformed into a vexated wanderer. Which,
that's the weirdest one.
Yeah.
The least interesting one, but it's really weird.
Yeah. And it also doesn't seem to be very accurate based on anything we've learned about Buzzer.
Yeah. Right. But
since
also,
we're here,
is it possibly because of his Cambridge background compared to some of the other file cards we've read? It seems like each version of this is throwing in some kind of fancier word for kids, because I don't think as a kid I would have known what vexated was.
No,
I definitely didn't know indignation, although I live by that now.
Are you suggesting that Buzzer wrote this himself?
I'm thinking that maybe, you know, as Zartan was doing his little missions, where he was slipping into Joe headquarters, Buzzer was like, hey, mate, while you're there, can I slip you a new version of my dossier? You could slip into their files.
Add this in. Okay, before we get to the card art, Since we're all looking at Yo-Jo right now, I just want to mention this lampshade that I must own. It doesn't have a full view of it. Oh, it's an Action Force lampshade.
Yes, it's Action Force.
Never mind.
It's going to cost you a little money, I'm sure.
Yeah, even more expensive. But like the side we're looking at has Buzzer and Lady J. And I just wonder who's on the other side. Come on, Jeffrey Otter Spore. Show us the other side of this lampshade. As far as the art on the card, what do we got here? You know, the first thing that jumps out at me is we got to make sure the kids can see that ponytail.
Yeah.
It's so awkwardly. It's almost like a Bailey style side pony.
You've got a front on shot of Buzzer with his sunglasses on. He looks like he's like intensely chainsawing some things to death. And you get the shot of his hands with little motion lines drawn so that you know that that chainsaw is a buzzing, as it were.
Also, the first artwork we've had where I have no idea what it is that he's chainsawing, but they are more or less putting a vehicle or something else on there. Like all the other characters, it's been them in an action pose.
Oh, dude, that's a Mobat.
Yeah.
Those are treads he's cutting off.
Or wait, actually,
Yeah, yeah, I think it's Mobat because it's the treads.
I think you're right.
Oh, you know, okay, wait, hang on. They're right here. I just wanted to check and see. No, okay. Because I thought it could also be the bridge layer or the Wolverine, but it's not. Mm. It's not either one of those. There you go.
Yeah. But yeah, and it, you know, great figure. This is the first, you know, well, I guess we did get Zartan the year before, and he just said the enemy on it. But, you know, this says Dreadnought's the enemy, specifically the first time we see that on a file card or on a card art itself. Although the one that they're showing is definitely not. Okay, yeah, I'm looking at the 86 card. Here's the 85 card, but it also says Dreadnought's the enemy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that carried over for both years. And then, yeah.
Great file card, lots of fun. Definitely, you know, as you said, the Dreadnoughts are different characters, so the file card has a little different feel to it, but again, is you know, Larry Hama at his biographical writing, or finest, I would say.
Yes.
And I found the other side of the lampshade.
Uh-huh.
So it is the card art of Ripper, but then sort of cutting Ripper off is this extreme close-up, like shoulders up, of Flint.
Oh, weird.
Pointing. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, so they didn't, is it where they joined it?
Yeah.
So they didn't pay any attention to spacing or anything. It's just the seam is right there. That's terrible. Oh. Well, now I know. Knowing is half the battle. This is Instruments of Destruction, where we discuss one of the vehicles, playsets, or non-figure releases from G.I. Joe. And today we're going to take a look at something that I was shocked we had not talked about this before, but I went back through the archives. I went through the wiki, and we have not talked about the Persuader. And I think part of the reason is for years I was kind of ambivalent about this one, because it's now I love it, but it kind of had the feel to me of one of the first vehicles that started feeling a little cheaper.
Yeah.
That wasn't quite the quality that we liked with G.I. Joe. So it came out in 1987. It included the driver backstop. We'll talk about him in America's Elite, which will be a very, very brief America's Elite someday. And I did not have a Persuader when I was a kid, but I did have backstop. So I guess I got him from a friend or something. But I did, you know, regardless of my opinion of it, I always kind of looked at it as the Joe's answer to the Hiss. Because it's a high-speed tank. Mm-hmm. Even the lines of it, the idea of it are kind of similar. What it has to recommend it is this massive cannon that this is the kind of weaponry that kind of sparked my imagination when I was a kid. Like, what is this? How does it fire? How powerful is it? Because it's not overwhelmingly large, but it is, I mean, it's a big piece of equipment. What does it shoot? What does it do? What is it? It's got a very unique look to it, but it's not so sci-fi. It's not like Classified Roadblocks original, you know, it's not quite like that.
Right.
And then it has this great design on the wheels where there are 10 wheels and the rear three operate independently from the front two. And on each side, I'm showing the guys here. I mean, obviously, you know, Noel, you know this, Christian. I don't know. Christian, have you had a Persuader before?
No, that's why I thought this was
isn't that cool?
Such an interesting choice, because this is one of those vehicles that you see at every convention. I feel like this is everywhere. And I can't say that impressed is probably not the right word. I've never been interested in it, actually. That's probably the nicest way to put it. I never understood the canon because as a and none of my friends had it either. I mean, it is one of the vehicles that is completely unknown to me other than now at conventions whenever I just look at it and go, yep, I still don't get the appeal. The whole wheels being on individual shocks like you just showed, that as a kid, that actually would have been interesting.
It's a very nifty gimmick, and if you look at it, you know, and anybody who's just listening, you're only listening to the audio version of this, because until we get back to a situation where it's worth publishing video of the segments episodes, that's all you got. But if you look at the bottom of a persuader, you can see there are two sort of axles here, where the rear six wheels are mounted on one and the front four wheels are mounted on another, and so they move, you know, independently. It's a really neat construction. I think I love the design of the persuader, not necessarily the execution. I think another thing that kind of holds it back a little bit is the plastic doesn't have that gloss on it. If it were glossy like the Mobat or the Slugger, I think it would make a little bit more of an impression, but it doesn't look as cheap as some of the later vehicles, but it feels like the beginning of some cheapness.
Yeah. You mentioned the Slugger just now, and that's what I was going to comment is this feels to me like it is kind of an update of the Slugger, because the Slugger was also like kind of a higher speed cannon. It didn't had wheels instead of treads. So it kind of serves a similar purpose.
But with the Slugger cannon, you've got, you know, it's a hollow cannon. You know that it shoots missiles, rockets,
projectiles,
cannonballs, whatever you want.
This one is also hollow, but just in a less impressive way.
Right.
One of the aspects of it not being quite as cool.
I think that adds to what I always perceived as the cheapness, as you put it, of it. That it's again, I've just never been totally sure what purpose does it serve. And then when you look at the driver, the backstop is so not military.
Well, but his helmet matches the tank.
Yeah, that is true.
I will say this though, Christian. I will say this. I bet by the end of this segment, I will have you hankering for a persuader.
Probably. You know me.
You're going to persuade him to get a persuader.
That's right. I do like the colors of it. I think the olive drab, the silver, and the yellow of the missiles looks really sharp and is, you know, it keeps it within the realm of the vehicles we've gotten up to this point. It was re-released in 1988 as a Toys R Us exclusive Night Force Nightstorm in those colors. You guys want to take, if you're not looking at it already, you want to take a jab at the original retail price?
I already looked at it.
I did not.
$689.
Wow.
Now we know Yojo does not always have the most accurate prices, but certainly I would believe, you know, 1987. $10 or less.
From my memory of the time, this would have been like the same size box as with the Hiss Tank and the Vamp and like that mid-level, you know, probably like a deluxe size vehicle would be classified nowadays. It was usually 10 to 12 at most stores around that time. So that
$689 might have been like a holiday sale price or something.
Yeah. This is one that I didn't have as a kid, and 87 is kind of that weird year where that was the last year I was really collecting Joes, but the media that I had, you know, I read the comics, but to me, like what was in the cartoon was what really stuck to me as far as, because they featured the vehicles more and stuff like that. So this vehicle, up until like just a few years ago, in my head was an 88 vehicle, because it does feel a little bit stylistically like it's a little later. It actually, looking at this and just having picked up a few Battle Force 2000 figures, this looks like this could have, with a repaint, been a Battle Force 2000 vehicle, because it does have that slight, you know, sci-fi look to it.
Funny you mentioned that. We'll get to that.
Well, and the driver also helps that, because he looks straight out of Battle Force 2000.
Yes,
very much so.
Yeah. So that I picked one of these up, I guess, for the first time just a few years ago at Joe Fest, because I was like, oh, it's an 87 vehicle, and I'm you know, my goal is to collect everything 82 to 87. And it's one that you can get, as Christian mentioned, like, you see them all over the place at cons.
Yeah,
it's
also one of
the, yeah, it's one of the cheapest vehicles you can complete. You can get one of these complete with the driver, with all the missiles, for like $20 if you look hard enough.
So speaking of cheap,
that's a Knoll price. Your average individual can probably get it for 40 or less.
I mean, you're going to get it for a good bit less than 40. I mean, I've seen them that much if they're pristine, but if you want one that's in decent enough condition as a display piece, you can get a 20 to 30, I'm sure, because I've seen them recently for that price.
With the driver and the pistol and everything?
I don't know about the pistol, but the driver.
I question that.
The driver with the helmet, yes.
Well, complete means with the pistol.
Right.
I found a Toys R Us ad from 1987. And
oh, nice.
Yes, it says, the Persuader, tin-wheeled tank with laser cannons, figure, and missile. So only one missile, Noel. That's
only
all
one
I need
missile
to make it complete. $7.99.
Wow.
Hmm.
So our features in total we're looking at, we have an elevating main gun, 6 removable missiles, sturdy construction for rugged play. And I will give it that. This is like, if I dropped this on the ground right now, like, the missiles would all fly off. The main cannon would probably pop off, but I don't think anything would break. It does feel tough.
Mm-hmm.
Shock absorbing bumper. Which, it is. It's a little, it's not spring loaded, but it has a piece inside, so it does move a little bit with impact, which I had completely forgotten until just now. Wheel cradles pivot, which is what we were talking about before, rolling wheels. And one of the differences here, if you look at the back of the box, and this would have made a huge difference in my opinion of this vehicle. On the back of the box, the wheels actually have little caps where they're mounted, as opposed to the final product that has those clips, you know, the snap-on clips. And that, to me, always just looks cheaper. Like, it's noticeable. Like, when you look at the Vamp, it doesn't have that. But the final product of the Persuader does have this. It's the little slotted hub type thing, you know what I'm talking about, where you pop it over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And that just looks cheaper to me. And it's the way that Joe Vehicles went. You're really, after this year, most of them ended up, if they had wheels, that's how they looked.
Mm-hmm.
So here's where I think I'll get Christian. I think this is a great base for customs. I think you can get, if you don't care about the driver, you probably could pick up a complete one for $20, like just the vehicle itself. And I think it would look great with lots of different paint jobs. I think you could repaint this. The one that I've got in my head that I'll probably, I guess the next thing we'll be at is probably Toylanta in March.
Mm-hmm.
And as of now, I plan to grab a cheap Persuader and paint it silver with black guns and tires. And then the bumper I'll paint yellow. Leave the missiles yellow, or maybe paint them a little brighter yellow, and then also paint the wheels yellow, like the inside of the wheels, paint that yellow, see what that looks like. But I think there are a lot of different cool color combinations you can get out of this. I think it would look cool in Dreadnought colors.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Uh-huh. I think it
has that weirdness to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and it kind of feels like it aesthetically, I see it looking good next to like the Dreadnought cycle,
the
Swamp Fire. Yeah,
it even sort of has lines that are reminiscent of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could look very cool. So, Christian, that's my challenge to you, is come up with what is Christian's custom persuader.
Yeah, because when I was looking at the pictures of the Night Force one, I definitely think the black body color helped it, but the red of the gun
orange does not,
still makes that look cheap. So I as I keep looking at it, I'm like, maybe what it needs is some sort of metallic kind of paint application to the gun to get rid of that cheap plastic look. But
yeah, that would be helpful if that were painted silver rather than the silver plastic. That would
blow. Yeah, or aged maybe just. But I agree with you 100% that I think throw some different color patterns on it, and you probably could make something interesting out of it.
Or even do it in like a cobra blue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I mean, it is very his tank esque, just in like its form and function.
Imagine it. So all the silver parts are painted silver instead of silver plastic. And then all of the green is that blue cobra camouflage that Super 7 created.
Mm.
That would look awesome. So yeah, there's
now thinking here. Iron Grenadier colors, because
yeah,
it does. Yeah, yeah, it is a very Iron Grenadier looking vehicle.
Yeah,
are just too big and unwieldy, and this would, because Noel, you keep mentioning the Hiss tank, and I see it, and I see this as being Mars's version of the Hiss.
Isn't the Hiss already Mars's version of the Hiss?
Oh, true. The Iron Grenadier's version.
Yes. Okay. The 2.0.
So, if this were an Iron Grenadier's version, though, and I don't want to get too crazy with customizing it, because then that makes it into an entirely different vehicle, but I would say it needs a bubble at least over the gunner seat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'd have to find, like, a Gashapon, you know? Just add that on top, little capsule.
Yeah, but I mean, I could see it. I mean, we already have one in black that's a Joe vehicle, but I could see you doing this with like the gold detailed instead of the silver.
Right.
Yeah. Black and gold and red would be
red missiles. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the persuader. I've got one. I'm happy with it, but. You know, like we said, it's not necessarily something I was super excited about getting. It was more, well, I should probably have this. And also, I will admit, the fact that it was in Operation Blackout and was a lot of fun to drive in that did add to my desire to own one.
All righty. Welcome to Let's Freaking Go Ring. This is a newer segment that we started here with the announcement of some new O-ring lines in the last couple years. We've used this a lot here in the last few segments to think about like other toy lines we'd like to see O-ring figures for. But after being inspired by one of our sound off posts on a live stream, we decided to switch this up a little bit and maybe move this to some G.I. Joe exclusive sets that we might want to see done in the O-ring style. When this came up, it was right before Thanksgiving. We were doing a live stream before Thanksgiving, and I had thrown together a set that was Thanksgiving themed. Some very brief thoughts on who would be included in it. And because this is our last episode before Christmas, I decided to go a little bit with that as well. So today we're going to talk about Operation Silent Night.
Nice.
So I have to get my notes back up here because I got away from them for a second. So here we go. Every December, global military readiness drops. Not officially, but culturally. And Cobra is aware of this. So Cobra has created an operation that is designed to exploit the emotional vulnerability of the holiday season, false emergency broadcasts, staged humanitarian crises, and then some carefully timed infrastructure disruptions that are meant to erode civilian trust in governments and military protection. None of this would ever happen in the real world. But in our fantasy world of G.I. Joe, this is an evil scheme that Cobra could come up with. Their objective in this is not conquest. It's just to create fear and to, you know, make sure people know who the strong men out there are in Cobra. So to lead this team, I decided we're going to have one original character who's going to lead our team, much like in the Special Missions Brazil. And then we'll have some existing Joes that will be, I decided maybe not necessarily even repaints, but more like modern, like remold updates for these characters. So for our leader of our team, she is our psychological operations expert. Her code name is Sugar Plum. Her file name is Carol Kringle. Primary military specialty is psychological operations. Secondary military specialty is civil affairs. She was born in North Pole, Alaska, and she is a grade 03 officer. A captain, actually, specifically. Carol Kringle was assigned to holiday operations after serving in multiple disaster response and information control units where civilian panic caused more casualties than enemies caused. She is trained to anticipate mass behavioral shifts during cultural events and to neutralize hostile interference before it spreads. She specializes in countering sabotage that relies on tradition, routine, expectation, and I cut off my word there. I think that was supposed to say something about empathy, cultural empathy or something like that. She studies when people feel the safest and plans accordingly. Known for her ability to maintain order during blackouts, broadcast interruptions, and evacuation events. Qualified expert, all NATO and Warsaw Pact small arms, emergency messaging systems, and crisis containment protocols. And her quote is, "People don't remember the gunfire. They remember the night that they were afraid. Sugar Plum makes sure that fear never wins out." So that is our leader of our team here, Sugar Plum. She's an all new character. Her figure would be kind of a cloaked look. So she's got her little radio communicator in her hand. She's got a weapon that she slings around her shoulder. She's decked out in darker colors because it's Christmas. We're going to do a darker green with maybe some other green and red highlights. I kind of asked one of our, you know, robot friends out there to, after plugging in a few ideas, to design this team for me. Visually, so I'll make sure that I include that, and we'll let the viewers see that since this is only an audio episode. So for her team, we have the leader of the she's a leader of the team, but her top advisor is going to be Stalker. He is Sugar Plum's ground liaison. He keeps team mission focused and prevents any escalations. We have Scarlet joining. She, of course, is tracking the Cobra misinformation campaign and identifying any staged threats that are embedded in those civilian channels.
Wait.
What's that?
You're using Scarlet for intelligence? What?
Yeah, I know. Go figure.
What a novel concept.
I was going to initially not use characters that were used in Special Mission Brazil, but I figured you have to have dial tone as your communications control officer here. As he's managing emergency signal authentication and killing Cobra broadcasts before they can ever reach the public. You've got to have Lifeline, obviously, as your civilian casualty prevention expert, because medical presence is a psychological reassurance. Lifeline is there not just to treat the injuries, but also to prevent people's fear of encountering injuries. Of course, Law and Order is there for crowd stabilization. He is an urban response specialist in this case. On that note, Shockwave is also there as our urban counter terror and bomb disposal expert. Barbecue is there for an emergency response and fire control. Visible but reassuring, I said, because, you know, he's there for crisis control, but also people see that firefighter. It's going to help that psychological aspect.
Real quick, I think that Order has to have antlers and a red nose.
Oh, yes.
He really should. He really, really should. Low Light is there. Obviously, if you're dealing with psychological warfare, that's the guy you got to have on board is Low Light.
I was just thinking, because you've talked so much about that and about fear, and I'm picturing Low Light yelling at, you know, the enemy.
Tollbooth, of course, is present because he's our infrastructure guy. He's making sure that the bridges and the tunnels are all intact. You have Outback there for a little bit of recon and a little bit of undercover work there. He's tracking those Cobra teams. I just wanted Outback in this set. I know he's a survival expert. You know, he's out in the wilderness, but I thought I wanted to see him in Christmas colors.
People got to survive.
That's true.
Legit, and Outback, now is this the Tiger Force Outback? So he'll have the white beard and that Santa-like aspect.
Work very well is the Santa Outback dressed as Santa Claus. I should have just gone with that. Now I feel like I wasted my life by not thinking of Santa Outback for this set. And then our last member of our team is Wetsuit, because a lot of times these big cities are on the water and you're going to need somebody who is preventing the sabotage at the ports and, you know, making sure there's not any underwater demolitions that are happening to weaken the bridges and the harbors. So that is our team of 10 underneath our leader, Sugar Plum. So thinking initially, I was like, all right, let's think of like how you would color them. And because this is all going to be audio, it's hard just to tell. Like, you know, we obviously want some reds and some greens and maybe some splashes of gold and
whites and stuff. Get the theme across.
So I gave a few prompts to our good friend ChatGPT and said, I'd like for you to design these characters based on these prompts. And what I got, I actually quite enjoyed. And I liked it so much, I asked it to put it into a nice urban setting at Christmas. So even though some of these characters don't look traditionally like the characters do, that's fine, because again, you know, these are going to be brand new molds. But I tell you what, if they ever did a barbecue figure that looks like the one here, even if it's in traditional colors or the one that is designed by our ChatGPT prompts here, then I would buy it in a heartbeat. So I'm going to send this. I should have sent it earlier to our team, but I wanted this to be a bit of a surprise to my.
Well, I'll throw this out there, because you have kind of brought up an interesting point in my mind with this. So the theme here is we're doing sets that could potentially be like con exclusives, which are famously lots of reuse of tooling, maybe some mixing and matching. But you have used existing characters rather than mixing parts to create new characters. You've gone with all existing characters, and it made me realize something. I would rather just have Scarlet that's a repaint with maybe, you know, Lady J from the waist down, or like mix it up a little bit, mm-hmm. but it's still Scarlet. You're not trying to convince me that Scarlet's parts are a new character. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would rather have that. I would rather have a new look for an existing character than you try and tell me like, no, it's Tollbooth with Grunt's head, and that's a different guy. As far as these con exclusive sets go, and I think that's one of the things that's kind of over the year, which I haven't really ever pinpointed before, but I think that is one of the things over the years that has kind of bugged me a little bit is they often do these new characters or the troop builders that are kitbashes or things like that. And I look at them and I'm just like, I know what that is. It's not what you're saying it is.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. All right. Here, the two pictures. I'm going to send these over to you guys so you can have them. And Dave, you can post this on to our socials for the listeners to reference this once this episode goes live.
I am hesitant to post AI-generated
material. Just make sure that, you know, you can say, you can use the disclaimer. This was, you know, this was all fed with prompts into ChatGPT.
I will say I would like a little brighter red.
Yeah.
But I do like the look of these, and yeah, that barbecue is wild.
Yeah, well, I said these look more like classified figures to me.
I love everything up to, like, I think barbecue is very cool looking. Don't get me wrong. If you were trying to keep me as a citizen calm during a panic or a blackout, or that version of barbecue is what bursted through the walls to save me, I would be scared.
Well, and I like that Outback shirt says Bestel.
I know. I was like, does it say Best Life? Because if it does, that's to me, like, that's Outback has graduated being this, like, you know, this gritty guy out in the wilderness to, you know what? I'm just back here at home and I'm living my best life.
You can't look at it too closely because it starts to fall apart. But as far as the theme of it, like, I do dig this quite a bit. Which is, you know, that's what AI is good for, is like, give me an overall picture of this, but now we're going to need a human being to make it look decent.
Right, right. Yeah, I could have played with it a little bit more and tried to clean up the prompts a little bit, but I was like, you know what? I like this general overall look.
No, it gets the idea across.
Yeah.
I love that set as a concept. Solid. And I like that you stuck to holiday themes. That leaves me with two thoughts. One, that my, because I'll be wrapping up our con exclusive sets, and I'm not going to have any kind of like seasonal theme, really, because I don't want to do just like, it's cold outside, so I'm going to have to figure something out. And now I have to write a file card for whoever my newly created character is. So thanks for that pressure.
Yeah, I like that. I did not go that far. I had my concept for each character, and
well, I juggled a name that would be Christmassy but would not be like just too silly, like Tinsel, or, you know, but I thought like
Sugar Plum did not cross your silliness threshold.
Well, initially, when I was thinking about Sugar Plum, I was like, it's a name that is used to, because she is a psychological operations specialist, she wants to make sure that she has a name that's reassuring to people. So sure. Sugar Plum is, you know, it's a nice, like, friendly name.
Just respect for not throwing somebody codenamed Nutcracker on the team. But, and yet, I kind of wish you had.
Yeah, actually, if her name was Nutcracker, I guess that would actually work too.
Oh, but, yeah, it could just be her. That's true.
Yep,
But you're right, though. That wouldn't go with her purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Well, excellent. Great set. This would be an instant buy. For me, as long as it included admission to the convention we were going to,
and order definitely needs antlers.
Yes,
very sad that I did not put that in the prompt.
Well, that's new tooling, so I mean, that may not happen. It may go in the design, it may not be in the finished product,
right.
This is Knowing is Half the Babble, where each of us gets a little bit of time to talk about something that may not even be G.I. Joe related. I'm going to kick it off this week because I have not really babble. I have a challenge. I have an assignment. Audible Army, listening to this right now, our next live stream is December the 22nd on the Needless Things YouTube channel, as was mentioned. section will be the airing of grievances. I want you, Audible Army, to put your grievances together and join us in that chat, because you will have the opportunity to air your grievances as well. Now, keep it lighthearted, keep it fun. You know, we like to be kind of ridiculous around here, so we're not getting serious. But, you know, put together some things that you think might generate a chuckle, or that people could just empathize with. Just as a little spoiler, one of mine is doohingies. No further explanation, but I got to talk about doohingies. So Audible Army, put together your grievances and join us on December the 22nd. We'll be reading them out from the chat. Well, Christian, who is the official chat manager, will be reading them out from the chat. All right, Christian, what is your babble all right. this time?
So mine isn't so much as a babble as it is a shameless plug for myself and Dave. Because last night, as part of the Needless Things channel podcast, we recorded the first ever Hasbro Palooza episode with our good friends Ryan Schweck and Jonathan Davenport, where each of us kind of talked about different figures, our favorite figures or figures that meant something to us from specifically from Hasbro. And today has been my first day off in over 2 weeks. And I was so inspired from this conversation. I have spent my entire day off in my toy room just going through a lot of the figures. You know, I've mentioned before how my house doesn't have a lot of space, so I have to rotate displays. So I was going through bins and pulling out older Transformers and some more of my gem stuff and older Marvel Legends, and just taking everything in. You know, we love this hobby. And we talk often about the Audible Army and the community that we build and being able to talk G.I. Joe with all of you. And last night, being able to have that conversation in a broader sense, just such a perfect cap for the end of the year to make me, one, thankful for never losing this hobby since I was a kid and all the people that we've met along the way, but also just what a lifetime of great toys we've had released. And even if it's something somebody else doesn't like, it means something to you. You know, spoiler alert, one of the things that came up was a snow cone machine last night. And when I tell you the memories that it opened, it's just wow. So yeah, if you get a chance, once that episode drops, listen to it. I think you're going to have a great time.
The audio and video of that will be available Sunday the 21st, probably around 6 p.m. ish. And yeah, we had a blast on that. Jonathan is just, it was his concept originally that he and I kind of talked about and fleshed out a little bit. But that guy is just one of us, and you're going to be hearing from him on Audible Interlude after the beginning of the year. We're going to figure out how we want to have him on. And I'll tell you right now, Hasbro Palooza or Company Palooza is going to be an ongoing concept that we're going to keep doing, because we just had a blast, reminiscing about toys. I mean, it's all, you know what, it's one of our favorite things to do always. And we came up with a whole other show concept.
Yes.
That we said it, we own it. That's how copyright works. That's ours. That's a Needless Things concept. Stay away from it. Keep your dirty, stinky YouTube hands off of it.
And it is such a great concept.
It really is.
Listeners, you have to listen to the episode so you can discover it before we finally
do it. And it came about organically, too. Like, it was like somebody said something, somebody else said, oh, wait, what about? And so we're doing that at some point also. All right, Noel, have you determined your Babel?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to mention that Snoopy snow cone machine was like one of the.
It wasn't a Snoopy snow cone machine.
Frosty the Snowman, which is basically the same thing.
Yeah, but that thing was. I think I wanted it so bad. Just the idea that I could have snow cones made of my own. I asked so many people for it that I got like three of them for either my birthday or Christmas that year. But it got, you know, I think I went through all of them because I mean it. It was a tough thing, you know, trying to take those ice cubes and shred them.
If you go look at the picture,
squeeze that product little pictures, bit, yeah, no, squeeze that little bit of syrup on there. But you know what? For that, like that two bites was just it was worth it. anyway, that's not my battle. I thought about bringing something to the table here because there's been a little bit of drama going on in certain areas of the G.I. Joe community. I decided I wanted to stay away from that. I wasn't going to mention anything by name, so I'm staying
good
away
call.
From that.
Good call.
But instead, since, you know what, this is the last regular episode before Christmas, and we're all kind of feeling the holiday feels right about now. Last night was my last night of the year hosting trivia because I do it on Wednesdays. Obviously, next week is Christmas Eve. The following week is New Year's Eve, so we're not doing trivia those 2 weeks. It's very sad because, like, I really hate missing a week. I have teams that have been playing with me for the better part of 20 years.
That's why, you know, we recorded Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. And I knew I was like, anytime we've had Wednesday as our only option, I just know Noel's out.
Yeah. So I've been hosting at this one venue for 16 years and just in general for like 23 at this point. And you know, I love doing it. I don't make a lot of money doing it, but it's just, I enjoy the repartee I have with my regular teams that have been coming for all these years. And you know, usually around this time, I'll usually get someone might throw me a little tip in my bucket this time of year, you know, just it happens every once in a while. Or they might, hey, we made some cupcakes. Would you like an extra cupcake? This year's been a really odd year, but a lot of good things have happened to me this year. So, you know, it's like while crazy stuff's going on in the world that, you know, is kind of depressing at the same time. Like I've had some good ups this year. So got a new job, you know, graduated school, you know, so that's some good things. Last night when I was like wrapping up trivia, one of my teams came by and handed me a card and said, you know, just wanted to give you this, you know, tuck it away so everybody doesn't think it's a bribe. And then another one of the team was like, you know, we were going to buy you a beer, but it doesn't seem like you ever, you know, you ever actually drink on the job. So like, we decided to get you a card instead. And they handed it to me. And then another one of my teams, you know, again, slipped me in a little note and gave me like a little tip. But reading those cards last night was just like, I was almost in tears, just so humbled at like how, you know, you get to you work with these people, you interact with them once a week, and then sometimes once every 2 or 3 weeks because they're not going to be there necessarily every week. Sure. And just knowing that you make those connections, and you know, I felt really like the first time this Christmas season I've really just kind of felt that holiday joy. So you know, enjoy what you can. The world ain't perfect, but connect with those people that make you happy in life, and just make sure you're making the best out of those relationships. So there we go. That's my mushy little pre-Christmas babble.
No, I mean, look, I did just those two nights of trivia, and I got a little taste of that. And you, having been doing it for so long, I mean, you're essentially creating another family. Mm-hmm. These people, they're gathering. I mean, that means that ritual means a lot to them, and you're the one that brings them together. So I totally get, like, you are an important figure in their lives, in their social habits. So that's huge. You should feel that warmth. You should be proud of that. And everybody should take a moment to think about, you know, what are our rituals? What are our social, you know, what do we do? How do we engage with other humans? What does bring us joy? Take a moment, think about that stuff and appreciate it. And hopefully there's a little more there than you even realize. And whatever, whatever you're celebrating, whatever your beliefs are, this is the time of year to just take a moment and think about, for lack of a better term, wherever they may come from, the ways in which you're blessed. And I'm not getting specific with that. I think that can come in many different forms. But we all have things that we can appreciate, be thankful for, at the very least, develop some connections or appreciate some connections that we have that we may not think about all the time. Sorry. Fart noise, G.I. Joe.
Well, now I don't. Now I can finally say, Noel, I am also touched and moved that there are people that think buying you a beer is not like the thing to do. Knowing Dragon Con, Noel, I'm like, what? Oh my god, get this man a shot. He totally appreciated.
Now there have on the clock at Dragon Con.
There have been gigs where there was about 4 to 6 ounces of bourbon that was sipped during the course of that gig, and I got very salty by the end of it. But on my Wednesday night, I tend to keep it pretty, you know, head pretty clear. Give me some Diet Coke.
It's also a Wednesday. Like, if you were hosting on like a Saturday,
oh well. The night when I actually did drink, it was Monday night, and the game started at 10 p.m. at first. So, I was living on the edge.
Wow. That's our Noel.
There you go. Well, that is all the show we got for you this week. Our music is by Andy Samford of electricminnowmusic.com. Follow us on Instagram at Audible Interlude Podcast. Noel, why don't you tell us a little bit about The Finest?
The Finest is an international G.I. Joe costume club who raises money for a fantastic organization called Canines for Warriors. Hey, we are, from my last count, $185 away from hitting our $10,000 goal for the year.
Ooh.
So go to thefinestcc.com and see how you can donate and help us hit that $10,000.
Nice.
We'll make it happen regardless, because it's only $185. We can hit that in the next 2 weeks. But help us do that, because that would be fantastic.
But if you are the person that hits that goal and puts them over, then you get to say, I'm the person that put them over that goal.
That's right.
That's the only reward. There's not like a hat or anything. But you
cannot say those words if you are not the person who does that.
And look, if there are people out there who it's important to them to be like backer number whatever on the HasLab, then certainly you should be able to take pride in hitting that 10,000 for the Finest. Christian, where can we find that toy photography you do so well?
You can find me on Instagram and Blue Sky under the name Legion Cub.
And you can catch us live on the Needless Things YouTube channel on December the 22nd, where we will be airing our grievances. Until then, Yo Joe.
Cobra.
You have been listening to a Needless Things production. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for the very best in toys, movies, music, and pop culture. Until next time, be kind and like what you like.